All right. Let's get this out of the way first. The thoughts, views, and opinions expressed on Tailboard Talks Firefighter Podcast are solely those of the speakers, guests, and host, and do not in any way represent the thoughts or views or opinions of any other employer, partnership, or sponsor. The material and information in this podcast is for general information purposes only and should be used at the listener's discretion.
I also still want to do, like Joe Galley was over working out years ago because he doesn't work out anymore. He just does yoga. I also want to do like the Hot Ones style thing or like put a microphone on Joe and then have him do a set of squats and ask him a hard union question and see, see how his brain works when he's fatigued, you know?
Flawlessly, I'm sure.
Tell me about FMLA or whatever. And so, yeah, I'm sure he will be, but it'd be hilarious to watch him try to do two things at once. That was his idea also.
Okay.
He said a Hot Ones fitness edition would be pretty funny. Well, let's start. Welcome back to your kitchen room. Very excited to be back. It's been a while, man, since we've recorded together.
Yeah, I don't even remember what our last one was. Seniority?
Yeah, probably. Maybe? Seniority somewhere being the problem.
Yeah.
I also thought that right now our plan is to work out to get today at noon.
Correct.
I think it's been about 5 years since we've worked out together. I was trying to think back to like when it would have been.
I think we worked out a little bit. Well, I mean, COVID's about that long ago. I think we worked out at Station 4 together a bit. We were doing kettlebell workouts on the bay floor.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was pre-COVID or not, though. I can't remember.
Definitely. So I should say that in a gym setting, it's been at least 5 years.
At least,
I think. Because I started this in 2017, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember working out very many times in the most recent LGN building after that.
I think you coached the first classes there, and that was it. I don't even know. Did you work out at the new one?
I think I came back for like a coach's workout or two.
Maybe, yeah.
Not a class. Yeah, but yeah, it was very sparse.
Yeah. That would have been 2019. So, yeah.
I'm kind of nervous. to work out again, dude. I haven't sprinted like that. Like, actually sprinted down turf in probably a couple of years.
Yeah, we're doing short ones today, so.
Yeah, I'm nervous. I stopped buying shoes that were good for that, you know? I just buy regular shoes now.
Yep.
So I'm excited, but I'm nervous. I feel like a beginner all over again that I'm going to be learning how to do stuff again.
Well, take it easy on me, all right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, right, dude.
I went out of my way to not put anything too heavy in so I wouldn't look like a wimp the first time after 5 years.
But that was always my most enjoyable point, but I know it was a point of frustration for you, is like when we did the coaches' workouts, I would work out with you guys like once a week. And so it'd be frustrating because you're like, all you're going to do is go as hard as you can today because you're never doing this workout again.
Correct.
I was like, yeah, it's pretty much it. And you're like, we're going to do this workout six more times in the next 3 months. Like, we're tempering ourselves. I'm like, well, that's your guys' fault.
Yep.
I paid for it the next day and my longevity now.
Pull out a spin bike and be like, let's bottom this out and climb for 3 minutes after. I'm like, God, fine.
Yeah, because no big deal. But you brought up a topic today, man, that's relevant because did episode on it 2 weeks ago, something like that, 3 weeks ago. But almost perfect timing. As soon as I put that episode out, we kind of embarked on a project. I should say you embarked on a project that I'm trying not to get in the way of. But it was a perfect example of creating change in your fire department.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going well, I think.
I think it is.
Yeah. I think we're right at a point where it has a potential. It's getting out now, but I think you've taken the right steps to make sure that even if it doesn't work, the way you've handled it and the steps you've taken, there's going to be no, you're not scorning someone if it doesn't work. You're not like showing someone up.
Mm-hmm.
The people who you're appealing to are like grateful that you're putting in the work to do it.
Yep.
So it's really, no one's going to lose in this one, even if it doesn't go.
If nothing else, we got some good reps out of it and had some good conversation.
And we know what we're going to do in this situation. Can you give a relatively succinct synopsis without, because the numbers won't be the same and stuff like that.
Right.
And we're not selling out the department. We're trying to improve stuff. So I don't think it's bad to talk about a little bit more specifically.
Yeah. So coming up this summer, we're teaching some elevated master stream training. And I'm one of the instructors for it. And I was just going back through some of the FAE equations for it and going back to when I took FAE compared to what we're using now. The numbers just didn't seem perfect. I shouldn't say that. They just put a question mark in my head. So, yeah. So I kind of started myself, reviewed a little bit, and to see if I could come up with maybe a better answer or a better suggestion more than anything, and then proposed it to kind of the guy who's in charge of all our FAE stuff, and then proposed that we run some pretty constrained with some good constants trials to experiment with what we're currently doing and kind of what I'm proposing and what they're teaching in FAE now to see maybe what gives us the best result. And so, and then we've done that throughout some of the other trucks in the department in hopes to come up with maybe a better answer and a less confusing answer. And so basically put all that together and presented it, and seems to have gone over pretty well. But it all started from just, you know, having a question and not demanding, why do we do this? It's okay. Maybe there's a problem. I'd like to come up with a solution. Here's what I'm going to do to try and prove that solution. And then I'll present it to you. And then I've given you all the information I can. And if we like it, cool. And if we don't, then that's okay.
Yeah. I think the beginning of that part was the most important part. Like, so when you called Craig, he has a name, we can use it. He's a nice, sweet guy. When you called Craig, there was about a day's worth of work that happened before that as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you got this, maybe even two shift days worth. I think you got the seed planted in your head like the day before.
Yeah.
And then you came in and started teaching a new guy stuff. And then it kept growing. And then at like 6 o'clock at night, you're like, I think I need to talk to you about this.
Yeah.
And then we reviewed it for an evening.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on you called Craig. So there was days of prep before this even happened. And I think
I was checking the math a lot too. I mean, I was running by Mickey, going back through my old FAE binders, researching on fire engineering. There was a lot of checks and rechecks because I didn't want to go to Craig and be like, doo-doo-doo-doo. And he's like, hey, dummy, this is why.
Like, look,
so
on
I wanted
two.
To have a pretty good bed of evidence to bring forward before I was just like, why do we do this?
Yeah. Well, and I know when you called him too, you started out, it was nice because it was asking questions, but it wasn't baiting because you were going to disqualify yourself from the conversation before it even started. If depending on what answer he gave you, because he cared so much about his position and what he's doing that he put himself back through FAE 1.5 times when he got put in charge of training it. Mm-hmm. Like, he went back to audit the class and then he went back again as a student to like do the reps of this stuff.
Yep.
And I remember hearing you start off with like, okay, when you went back through this, can you tell me what they're teaching now? Because I have an idea, but not even going to bug you if there's something behind what you're doing.
Yeah. Right. Because my materials were 19 years old.
Yeah.
But they were consistent with things that have been written out in the last couple of years too.
Yeah.
But like I said, I hadn't attended a class. So, and I even went as far as to asking our newest members who went through FAE to send me their materials so I could look through them to see what they were teaching before I went to.
Right. But that's a great way to do it. So you do all your work beforehand, because we do have people that'll just go right to the top. I mean, we have people that would call the chief about this and be like, why are we pumping this at this? And he'd be like, and our chief would actually take ownership of that and then go down the chain and try to solve this problem.
Right.
But all those people don't need to be involved. You're gonna make a lot of people angry along the way when your battalion chief and your captain and your lieutenant find out that the chief is asking questions because you went directly to him.
Right.
Like, is this a project I'm supposed to be involved in, or what? Why is the chief in my station right now?
Well, and on the flip side too, like, Craig's done a ton for moving FAE forward at our department and to undermine the accomplishments he's made over the last few years and the work he's put in.
Yeah.
To skip over him would just be downright rude.
It would be. And you know that Craig is cold-hearted and has a real mean streak to him, because he never stops smiling.
Mm-hmm.
He'll always engage in conversation politely. And anybody that, first of all, good-looking, but even mild-mannered, as soon as that little, it's like in the movies when it's like, trip the mind, it goes bink.
Yep.
Like, as soon as you, that's always sitting there and you don't want to see it.
Nope.
He does way too many TRX movements. He's got way too much core strength to be someone you would mess around with. So then we did the work, which is, we didn't do the work. You put in the work, which is where most people fall down.
Yeah.
Usually it's like, hey, here's a problem you should solve. see ya.
Right.
And then that person, 50-50, will either be like, I'll help you with that person I gave this problem to, or like, see you later, I found out this problem. But we did a bunch of trials, and we did a bunch of training with it, and you did more training with it and figuring out. So I think that's the second point of this thing is like, if you just bring up problems and you just dump it on someone, it's not going to get fixed.
Correct.
And most of the time, those people that are in charge won't tell you that. They're just going to say like, oh, cool, thanks for figuring that out. Mm-hmm. And then that's the end of the conversation. They're not going to willfully take on your problem.
Right.
We've had people come to the Ford Fire Tax Board and be like, we should figure out a system for this. And we're like, yeah, you should. Like, you should definitely figure out a system for that. And afterwards, so they'll kind of come to the board for advice or guidance on, like, what's legal, how can we do this, blah, blah, blah. But we make it very clear to them, like, if you don't keep pushing this forward, it's going to die. We're not going to, this is not our problem.
Right.
And yes, it should be fixed, but we're not going to be the ones to do it right now. So keep going or else that's it. Mm-hmm. And I'd say it's been 50-50 with people who are like, yeah, I'll figure that out. Like, I'll put in the work. And people who are like, well, I guess you guys don't want to fix anything then. And yeah. We're like, I guess not. So now we're at the point, where are we in the process? Did you send your results back to them?
Yeah. And so it's obviously been received pretty well, but there's still, so the changes will happen. But instead of it being just a blanket everything, we're going to probably finesse it a little bit. So okay. Instead of saying all of these tips are all going to start at the same, we're going to go through each tip and see what's the best for each tip.
Okay.
And so, which is great because we're getting to a better answer then at that point.
Yeah. And it's also, I think that's pretty appropriate because although we run all standardized with the same frontline tip, if you're in that situation, then you'll have time to look at the resource right. material and be like, okay, now we're going to this pressure because right. we're on defensive operation. But just having the baseline and the, yeah, that seems like it's going to work out pretty well, man. Mm-hmm. We've also tried this with other stuff with mixed results, I would say.
Yeah.
I think it depends on what you think the goal is and the stuff that we've accomplished too. Mm-hmm. Like with the consumption course, that was one of the points that we kind of threw back and forth before this thing. The goal was to keep it around because yeah. we had a chief that came in and said, I don't understand the point of this. I think it's just an excuse to get you guys over time and have people get sweaty for half an hour. Mm-hmm. And they can do that on their own time. We're going to stop doing this. So we essentially had to make it something more than it was. It already had value, but we had to like clearly define it, change the course completely, make it like valid and reliable mm-hmm. and stop the conflict that was within it of people sharing right. events and turn it into something and then figure out a way to score it and grade it. So you had a result on the backside of it, you can compare year to year. And then we were able to go to them and be like, okay, here's this test. Just like any other standardized test, it's just right. a physical one now, but it does hold validity. And then we were able to keep it. Mm-hmm. And then over the course of the past 7-8 years, it got refined more and more to be like closer to what we want. But originally the goal was just to keep it. So that was a major win. Mm-hmm. It wasn't to create the best thing possible or get our department in shape or get everybody working out or anything like that.
Right.
But if you have nothing and you go in with that lofty goal, that I think that's a recipe for disaster and letdown, mm-hmm. right?
But I think too, it's good to kind of share how we've deployed that too, you know, so it's because it kind of goes back to what you were talking about a couple episodes ago with implementing it small. And it's like, we didn't come in and just say globally, everyone on the department's doing this right away. We refined it. Then we started it with the new hires.
Yeah.
Then we run it through their probation. So now the new hires do it 2 to 3 times throughout their probationary year. And then we do it with the entire department, hopefully once a year, just if things go according to plan.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just like we came out with this huge idea of how we're going to do this thing. We dripped it and made sure it worked and stayed consistent with it.
Yeah. What other, I know you shot a few through a text message. What other examples did you have of things that we've started small or tried to accomplish, even if they didn't work? Because some stuff just hasn't caught on. Some stuff is there just because we want the people to have the opportunity to use it or do it. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're in one right now with the sleds where we're in the very infancy and a lot of pushback on it, you know, where we're starting real small with it. And with a lot of the fitness equipment we have, you know, and this goes back, you know, when I started, we had universal machines, you know, and we were able to graduate to free weights and such. But over the course of time, you learn things that are safer, better, more efficient, more functional. Mm. And so then we move from straight bars, straight powerlifting bars, to trap bars and landmines and medicine balls. And now we're getting to sleds, you know?
Yeah.
And I think we kind of follow the same path. It just goes externally with the fitness stuff for us, because we have 15 years of trying this stuff out outside of the department. And that's our small sample size of figuring things out and knowing that they work. And then we bring them to the department and start implementing them there. And so currently sleds are a hot topic with us because it's a unique piece of equipment. They're expensive. They don't fit in the workout room, but the carryover of what it can do and the benefits of it, those things just weren't available 10 years ago to buy, you know, when we outfitted workout rooms.
Yeah. So the sleds we're talking about are not like a prowler. So that this was the problem, was we had an event in the consumption course that was a tire drag and from both sides. So there was a tire, it had an eye bolt on one side and on the other side as well. And one side it had about 20 feet of 1¾-inch hose, and on the opposite side it had a 20-foot loop of webbing. And so in the course you would grab the loop of webbing and walk backwards like you were dragging with the DRD webbing out of somebody's jacket, and then you would go to the other side of it. So you drag one straight length down the course, then you go to the other side of it, put the 1¾-inch over your shoulder, quarter over your shoulder, and then drag it forward back to the beginning of the course. And I liked it a lot, but it was, first of all, grating on the floor. And also, if it was nice outside, we wanted to do it outside, but the asphalt versus concrete versus the bay floor were different resistances. So it was kind of not giving us a true measure of the difficulty. And it, at that point, we decreased the reliability of the test of the consumption course. So we had a member come forward and say, I want to get some push sleds that they use the Torque or Tank fitness sleds at their gym. It's a sled that uses wheels, like wheelbarrow wheels, and magnetic resistance. And I said, that's great, because now we won't damage the floor. And also, they're awesome because we use sleds a lot at LGN. Mm-hmm. But they were metal sleds on turf. But to bring a prowler or a metal sled in, that would do even more damage to the floor, and it would be super obnoxious on concrete and asphalt and the bay floor. So we went for these sleds. So initially, Kurt and I kind of tempered our response to it and said, man, these things are like $1,000 a piece. Not likely. So $1,000 a piece, and like you said, they can't fit inside the workout room. They really can't be used inside the workout room. They're going to live on the bay floor. Some of our workout rooms are on the second floor, so this would have to live completely separate from it. And it's just a new piece of equipment in general that doesn't hide out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. So the first approach we took was proposing 3 of them instead of 7 of them, one for each station. And we figured that 3 of them we could justify, because in the consumption course, there's 3 individual courses. So each person runs their own set of equipment. So if we get 3 of them, that would work for the consumption course. And then that would be a trial. So a year from now, we would go back and ask for 4 more to fill out the rest of the stations with a sled. I'm pretty sure if we would have been like super firm on saying we want 7 of these things right away, we would have gotten 0 of them.
Probably.
But because we kind of pivoted and said, let's just do 3 and then kind of shoehorn it in there. Mm-hmm. Now, like you're saying, that didn't necessarily make the second round of them that much easier.
Right.
Because of the reasons that we kind of went over. It's out in the open, and now it's easy to see if someone's not using it. So if you say, why do we have a treadmill? Well, people use it. Well, maybe yes, maybe no. Like, you can't see that person using it or not using it, right? With the sled, the people could see people not using it. So, like, no one's using these things. So when I went back to buy the next 4, there was a little more conversation because of that, which I think is just a purely exposure type of thing.
Yeah.
But you also brought up some points that I echoed in the meeting of, like, well, let's get rid of the Vitamix then. Like, I haven't used a Vitamix in 16 years.
Right.
Mickey uses it every day, but I don't use it, so let's just get rid of it.
Right.
But it just goes back to, so in getting the second grouping of sleds, I had to go to each station captain and make sure they were good with it, that they understood that it was not going to live in the workout room. I had to go to some of the people at those stations, ask if they used it, get feedback on it. Luckily, I got a captain on my side that liked it a lot, who got his crew to use it. So that was a huge vouch for the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then since they're being talked about now and more stations are going to get them, I've gotten a couple of text messages from guys being like, oh, it's nice outside, I'm going to start using this thing. And one guy texted me with a lot of swear words saying like, get rid of this thing because it hurts my legs. So, good job, Dave. So, just another example of stuff that we're going to try to go through, but you have to know what you're fighting for. Like, I changed my tactic in presenting a lot of this stuff because for a while we were saying like, if this can get one person to work out, it's worth getting. Mm-hmm. Like if this can motivate someone or like somebody sees this and they like it, maybe that's worth the investment, right? I've changed that when I go pitch these things now because I change it to if there's 20% of people working out, I want them to have the best equipment possible.
Right.
And like I want to reward the people who are already doing it. And yeah, if we pick up one or two a year that wouldn't have done it otherwise, that's cool too. Mm-hmm. But we owe it to the guys who are working out to give them more and better, more free, as often as we can.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of been my spin on that thing. And, mm-hmm. and that's worked a lot better because there's always going to be the air of like giving something to someone who's not going to appreciate it or someone getting away with something or whatever. But you just change that focus of like, so what if they do?
Right.
What worst case scenario, they're better, mm-hmm. like, especially yeah. with workout stuff. Like
the funny thing with the sleds too, is I've heard more names associated with working out with the sleds that of guys that don't work out at the station mm. most of the time. So there's a lot of guys that are like, yeah, we've gone out and used that sled as like a company or something like that, that are not guys that work. That's the only workout that they've done there.
Yeah.
Know? Does that make sense? What I'm saying? Like
they're not going to carve out time to go in the workout room on shift.
Right.
But for some reason, that sled's there. For some reason,
the sled was comfortable enough for them to use.
Yeah. I think it's just it being out there, man. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about that with forcible entry props too.
I mean, if you look at it and you're just like, well, what? I mean, for us, it's a pretty natural thing because sweet, how many different ways can I figure out how to use this sled? But for somebody who is just a treadmill guy or an elliptical guy, looking at that thing, like, yeah, I don't even know what do I even do with this thing? Like,
especially for one of those guys, like if you put the wrong resistance or have the wrong expectation of your pace going into that thing, you're done in like a minute. Mm-hmm. You're like, well, how am I supposed to do this for 20 minutes?
Right.
And with a little bit of coaching and guidance, it can easily be as long, slow distance cardio as anything out there. You just got to do it. You got to use it appropriately.
Yep.
So yeah, I absolutely. It's actually what that guy said. He's like, yeah, I put it two plates on level three. And I was like, this shouldn't be too tough. And he's like, got halfway down to level two. Yep. On the way back down to level one, take off a plate. Like yeah, it's perfect though. That's the best. That's the best commercial for it though. Cause like you can't do that with a back squat. You can't go quarter way down and be like, I need to drop 95 pounds off this thing and then drop another 135 off on the way up. Like if you put 405, you're pinned, you're turning into a diamond from getting crushed. So it's a perfect example of how modifiable and just like you said, as technology and we learn new things and things become available, that just helps everybody. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. We can go over the common ways people screw this up. I think we've hit that kind of organically.
Yeah.
Of just being too headstrong, too, I don't know, unwilling to bend to accomplish the goal.
Sure.
Like the goal, you have to have the goal in mind. Mm-hmm. And as long as that goal's being met, like the method of getting there is not super important to me, as long as it's not damaging to anybody.
I personally think that the sweeping, we're going to make a change, especially this does happen a lot with like promoted guys too, where it's like, new sheriff's in town, we're doing this immediately. I think you get some conformity out of that pretty quickly because you just don't want to start things off wrong.
Yeah.
But that stuff dies. You're not empowering people at that point. You're just tasking them, you know? And when the task is done, their buy-in's done, you know? But I look, this is actually what I was thinking about before, is a pretty good example of it is we had a really well-respected chief officer leave. And he's assistant chief at a new department. And you know for sure that he's done his homework and that there's things there he wants to change. And from conversations with him, that's not the way that things are starting there. Like, he's not going in guns blazing and being like, here's all the things. Instead, he went in and all the candidates that opposed him during this, he took out to lunch and coffee just to get to know him. You know, took the union president out, you know, and it's like organically he's going to get people to buy in.
Right.
And eventually his stuff is going to come to the forefront.
Yeah.
And it's, but he's empowering his people to bring him the ideas that he wants, you know, and then when you make it their idea, your idea, their idea, and they come, then you get buy-in with it, because then right. people want to push it forward, you know? And so that's what'll happen there, and we know it'll happen there, but...
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because you could turn that... You could easily take 1 degree off of that and turns into, like, manipulation and sliminess,
mm-hmm.
right? But then the results of his initiatives, you quickly start to realize, like, they're not selfish. Like, he's not ever received a benefit that the lowest person on the chain didn't receive.
Mm-hmm.
They're all good for moving the entire organization forward. And again, he doesn't care. He will gladly give up the credit to the newest probationary member for making yep. this awesome idea and change. And he will keep his name off of everything because he knows the goal is to get that thing implemented or get right. that change made. And mm-hmm. so cool.
Yep.
And through that, then guys like you and I will see that and be like, yeah, but was behind that.
Right.
Or so-and-so was behind that. and we know that, like, holy crap, like, he gets buy-in from the middle, not just the polar end
right.
That he's affected directly, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great way to do it. And empowering people is such a difficult thing to do, though, because you want people to bring you the answer, but you want it to be the right answer.
Right.
And so it's tough when somebody, you do empower someone, they take it on 100%. And they bring it to you, and you're like, we just need to change these last few things. And it's like, you almost feel like you're breaking their heart of like, I know I gave you this project 3 months ago and you've been thinking about it, but mm-hmm. I've been thinking about it for a decade.
Yeah.
So you got to temper that of being like, thanks for all that work. You gave me what I wanted. Now I'm going to change it to be what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's got to be some give in that too. Yeah. 'Cause if you're empowering that person, you have to give over the reins mm-hmm. a certain amount, or whatever adjustments are made. They got to be, agreed upon or within the vein of what's going on.
Yeah.
We've had people hijack initiatives before too and turn it into something completely different. And we're like, well, that's not the point.
Yeah, exactly.
Of that. That's like, that's not what that was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Now that we basically gave someone a weapon instead of
right.
what it was supposed to be.
Canvas. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good, man. I think that's a good spot to kind of wrap up, unless anything else specific spoken out that you wanted to get to.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, change, start small and just accomplish the goal, like figure out what has to be accomplished. And I can't think of too many things that would make me ditch a project, short of like bargaining something to get something, you know,
mm-hmm.
if everything else stays intact and it just takes longer, it takes a roundabout way or goes through someone I don't like or something, as long as it's in there. Like I would tell the story about our jackets we got, those quilted jackets.
Mm-hmm.
That jacket idea has been around for years.
Yeah.
But the first time it was handled so poorly and the person wouldn't accept their foot in the door, like the quartermaster was like, okay, we'll have them, but in this very small degree, but I'm not doing everything you want with them.
Yeah.
And that person blew it up. They're like, well, I want everything or nothing. And the quartermaster was like, well, then you get right. nothing. So, and then they went away for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. It's like, dude, if you could have just accepted that little wedge and know that that guy's going to be gone in a few years.
Right.
And they'll be part of our culture and part of our system. And then you grow it. And in 5 years from now, you have jackets. Now we have to wait 5 years to start that project over again. Which goes into your points also. But yeah, just try to accomplish the objective, man. Well, good, dude. It's been a good session in the kitchen again.
I agree.
Next time, maybe in a month, maybe we'll be in the garage. Maybe I'll Weasley into a workout before
I'm trying to think.
Recording.
Tuesday after Memorial Day. That's when the schedule...
Can't even, are we...
Eases up a little more.
You could tell me we're in January right now, man. I have no concept of what today is. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. Reach out with any questions or suggestions. Check out Rescue One CBD and Fourth Frontier. Of course, I forgot to mention them at the beginning of the episode. And just because for some reason Mickey said the other day, I think instead of saying capable and durable on job and wait for it, I'll go back to Wild Stallions and say be excellent to each other. Party on, dudes.